VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be ever vigilant in the times in which we live. And this is not for adults only, but our children must also be astute to the deception that is so prevalent today. As a matter of fact, all across this nation is the attempt to indoctrinate children, should I say brainwash them, seeking to convince them that we're really, really a very bad nation. Our founders were bad. That's what we are is being promoted today. And when this is pushed and ingrained in fashionable minds over and over again, this deception takes over and to the individual, it becomes reality. Is it any wonder why we are seeing such uprisings, riots, violence, rebellion across this nation today? Friends, this is not by accident. It's by design. It's called the 1619 Project. Do you know about it? Our guest today is going to peel back the layers of the onion here to reveal exactly what this 1619 Project is, who's promoting it, what are its goals, and what can be done. Today, we welcome back Alex Newman. Alex is an international freelance journalist, an author, a researcher, educator and consultant, a foreign correspondent as well for The New American, regularly attends UN and international summits. He is the co-author of the book, Crimes of the Educators. Alex, thanks for joining us on a very important topic today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
So, Alex, for those who have never heard of the 1619 Project, I'd like you to tell us about it, and I'd like you to begin with its origin, even its very name, 1619 Project. What can you tell us about it?
Sure. Well, thank you again for the opportunity to speak on this, Jim, and I think this is such an important topic. It has now invaded public schools across America. So it began as a series of essays published by the New York Times, in their magazine, last summer. It was on the 400th anniversary of a ship that arrived in Virginia at Jamestown carrying a group of 20 Africans. Now, the entire thing is actually based on multiple false premises, so we'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. But what they're arguing, the main writer here is Nicole Hannah Jones. She is a virulent racist with a long history of really making just grotesque racist statements, accusing entire races of being devils and genocidal murderers and rapists and all this kind of stuff. And she starts from this premise that the real birth of America is not 1776, as we used to be taught, as we were, you know, commonly believe, but the real birth date of America is 1619, when these 20, she says, enslaved Africans, in fact, they were not actually slaves, they were indentured servants, but we can leave that for later. But these 20 slaves arrived in Virginia, and what she argues is that everything about America from that time has slavery and racism and white supremacy at its core, including, by the way, the American Revolution. Her original essay, the very opening piece in this 1619 Project, argued that the reason we actually fought the revolution against Britain was to protect the institution of slavery. They did end up having to walk that back because it was so obviously false. But you know, that was the premise of this thing. So what they're saying is, and she makes this very clear, she says racism and slavery is embedded in the DNA of America. So she doesn't take the next logical step and say, well, if the evil is embedded in our DNA, you can't fix it, right? You can't fix your DNA. Mm-hmm. That's what you were born with. So the only real solution then is to kill America, to destroy America, and to replace it with something new. And that is, of course, the objective. So it began as a series of essays. It became wildly popular with liberals and progressives. It was made into a podcast. Now it is a school curriculum, which they're using to either replace or supplement the teaching of history in public schools all over this country.
And folks, I hope you heard what Alex just said. I mean, the claim is that this is in the very DNA of our nation. We can't change our DNA, so they're saying that this is an immutable characteristic of our nation, that we are anti-black, racism, slavery, systemic oppression, And all these evils, they're just embedded in us as a nation. We cannot change it. And it's from that premise, Alex, is what they are seeking now through this curricula to teach children.
That's right. And, you know, we've been documenting for many years, in fact, for decades at the New American, the fact that the history that is being taught in public schools across America is almost entirely fake. To the extent that there's any truth in it, it's distorted, it's misrepresented. It is just mind-numbingly phony. And when you add this on top of it, you know, and the children don't have any perspective, right? Mm-hmm. They're not learning American history from any other place. They're not learning it from the media. They're not typically learning it from their parents, most of whom, you know, in most cases, their parents got a phony version of American history, too. You have these kids who have no point of reference, no context, no other sources to look at, who are being taught that their nation is evil, that the founding fathers are evil, that evil is embedded in the very DNA of their nation, that they're guilty just because of their skin tone. And, I mean, the repercussions of this are already starting to become very obvious. They're going to get much more serious if we allow it to continue.
Now, it's interesting because today, as this program is live, today is September 17th, 2020. It's Constitution Day. Ladies and gentlemen, it was 243 years ago on this very date, September 17th, that our Constitution was written, sent to the states for ratification. And one of the signers of the Constitution, James McHenry, noted in his diary that after Ben Franklin left the Constitutional Convention, he was asked by Mrs. Elizabeth Powell of Philadelphia, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" Franklin replied, "A republic if you can keep it." And today, Alex, this republic is under great attack.
It is. I would say that it is completely surrounded on all sides. You know, it's being attacked from multiple angles, multiple approaches. But I think this is probably one of the most pernicious. You know, if the majority of American children, you know, it's something like 85% of American children right now go to public schools. If the majority of American children are brought up believing these lies about their nation, there is no chance that this nation can survive absent divine intervention. Because when you read this history, you know, you come away with the impression that, oh my goodness, America is like worse than Nazi Germany. You know, the only thing that we'll do is to just completely smash any vestige of it. And as you read through this, I mean, she connects every possible problem you could think of. She even goes to traffic in Atlanta, right? Traffic on the roads of Atlanta is a legacy of slavery. Everything about America, absolutely everything, has to be viewed through that lens. And so you realize that, you know, if this narrative succeeds, if they're able to push this into the minds of young, impressionable children, America, as we have known it, is over. And yet the irony is that it is almost an exact reversal of reality.
Yes, indeed. And you know, the narrative, as you spoke, that's being presented in this is that all our nation's founders, they were bad guys. They were slave owners. We need to distance ourselves from these founders. Let's pull down their statues. Let's rename buildings. Let's rename schools that are named after them. Let's remove their pictures from the halls of our educational institution. The list goes on and on. We're being told in our culture today all these founders were bad guys. How do you respond to that, Alex?
Yeah, it's simply untrue. In fact, the founding fathers laid the foundation for eventually abolishing slavery. And see, children have no reference point. They don't understand that slavery has been an institution that has been absolutely ubiquitous throughout human history. I mean, almost every civilization at every point in history on every continent that is inhabited has had this institution. In fact, Charles Darwin argued that there was something instinctive about slavery, right? And we could talk about Charles Darwin later, talk about a raging racist. For some reason, he escapes criticism in the 1619 Project. But the reality of the situation is that the founding fathers distilled these biblical principles. They took the Bible and they said, look, clearly God has created us all equally. And so almost to a man, the founding fathers, if you look at the key founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, Benjamin Franklin, every single one of these men was open about the fact that they disliked slavery. They wanted to abolish slavery. In fact, they tried as quickly as possible to start taking steps to eradicate slavery. And again, the children don't have any perspective. They don't realize that slavery was everywhere all over the world. I mean, slavery was legal in Mauritania until 2007. This is an African country. Primarily black Africans were being enslaved. So slavery has always been with humanity. Then along come these guys. They've been very, very studied. They're very highly educated. They've studied the Bible since they were children in Greek and in Latin. They came to the conclusion that it is a self-evident truth that all men are created equal and that all men are endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights. So they enshrined this in the Declaration of Independence, and less than a century later, America became one of the first societies in human history to abolish slavery because of the biblical principles that underpin America. Mm-hmm. So really, the story should be a celebration. Wow, a nation was founded based on biblical principles. Those biblical principles led to the eradication of slavery first in that society and later all over the world. Instead, it's completely flipped on its head. So the founding fathers were not perfect men. Nobody's perfect, right? We live in a fallen world. But when you compare our founding fathers to your average person at that time, to even your good people at that time, the founding fathers were absolutely extraordinary. They were very, very moral men. Even the ones who did own slaves, which again was an institution that had been handed down over the generations, even the ones who did own slaves, like George Washington, they say he owned slaves. That's true. He also provided in his will that they would be set free, that the ones who couldn't take care of themselves would be provided for out of his own estate. But you don't hear that. The children are not taught that.
Right, right.
And that's a shame. It's dishonesty. It's really bearing false witness, and it's unacceptable.
Well, and that dishonesty and the false witness, I mean, it goes right back to the very first sentence of the headline of that first essay where they say our democracy's founding ideals were false when they were written. I mean, from the opening statement, things are wrong.
That's exactly right. There's multiple factual errors in the headline of the first essay. I mean, that's how bad this is. And so, you know, first of all, if Miss Hannah Jones had actually bothered studying any American history at all, she would have known very clearly that America is not a democracy, was never intended to be a democracy. In fact, when you read the writings of our founding fathers, they thought democracy was a terrible form of government. You can go to, for example, James Madison. He's considered the founder, the father of our Constitution. Well, he wrote very clearly on this issue. You've got Federalist Number 10. The Federalist Papers, for those who don't remember, were basically the debates between the founding fathers. The Federalist Papers were the ones in support of the U.S. Constitution. And James Madison explained that a democracy is a terrible form of government, that the rights of property and the individual rights of people are never secure in a democracy because the mob can override them at any time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a mob that killed Jesus. Christians should be able to understand this pretty easily, right? He explained that this was a terrible form of government and that a better form of government was a republic where you have the rule of law that underpins it all. And even if you can whip up a mob of 80% of the public, you can't lynch somebody. You can't shut down their newspaper. You can't burn down their church, regardless, because the law is supreme. And, of course, the law, they understood, was based on God's law, right? God said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Therefore, you have a right to life that trumps the will of the majority. God said, thou shalt not steal. Therefore, you have a right to property that trumps the will of the majority. So if she had done any research at all, I mean, even the Constitution itself, it guarantees to every state in the Union a republican form of government. You'd think that'd be pretty basic, but apparently not.
Alex Newman, our guest here today, and friends, we'll be sharing with you a web address where you can get a copy of an article that Alex has just freshly written on this 1619 project. You do need to be made aware of this, folks. The deception is running rampant in schools across this nation and editorials and the like. We'll be back with more discussion after the break in 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we see right-to-life efforts all over the news these days. What does the Bible say about this?
Chris, the Bible is clear. Humankind is created in the image of God with great value and worth in His sight and is to be respected and protected. At conception, the embryo takes on human status, although not yet completely grown. The Bible discusses how the growing embryo as an individual has feelings and on some occasions even expresses itself. When a pregnant woman was injured in Bible times, such that the baby lost its life, there were consequences to be faced. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, but there's enough there to be certain that the unborn child is a viable human person and must be protected. Chris, the Back to Genesis way of thinking helps us understand modern issues.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman with us here today. The 1619 Project is our discussion. And Alex, you have just written a fresh article. I can tell we're not going to get down into all the nitty-gritty of this, but your article goes much more in-depth on it. How is it our listeners can obtain that?
So the online version, if you go to thenewamerican.com, you should see it right there on the top rotator for articles. It is called Brainwashing Kids with Debunk 1619 Project to Destroy the United States, to Destroy U.S. And the print version should probably be coming out within the next couple of months here. We're going to do an even more in-depth investigation. And if people want to subscribe to the magazine, they can go right to the website, thenewamerican.com. And the magazine will be mailed right to their door. So.
Okay, again, folks, it's thenewamerican.com. Alex, are you trying to be sensational with that topic? I mean, brainwashing kids and destroy United States?
No, not at all. In fact, I wish that were hyperbole. It's really interesting with brainwashing. You know, they figured out the communist dictatorships decades ago figured out that the most effective way to brainwash somebody was to eliminate and destroy their original sense of identity. So typically, you know, American children were brought up with an identity as Americans. We had a common culture. We had a common belief that America was founded on freedom, that we were a good nation constantly striving to get better. We had a belief in the idea that all men are created equal and that each of them is endowed by their creator with inalienable rights, which this 1619 Project says right in the headline is false, which is, of course, in my opinion, ludicrous and itself racist. But what they're doing here is trying to obliterate the children's sense of identity. And you know, as you dig deeper, it gets even more severe than that. Right now, they're teaching kindergarten children, even your identity as a male and female is now being deconstructed. Right? They're telling the boys, do you really know that you're a boy? You know, you could always get a gender reassignment surgery, and then you could be a new gender. So at every level, the identity of these children is being targeted for destruction. And then that is all being supplanted with this propaganda, with this indoctrination. So this is brainwashing in the truest sense of the term, in the sense that it was scientifically perfected decades ago by people who specialized in this field. And when I say destroy the U.S., again, I'm not using hyperbole. If you could convince a significant enough majority of the American people, starting with the children, that their nation is evil, that this evil is in the very DNA of their nation, then what is the logical conclusion of that? The logical conclusion is that the United States must die. Why would we want to keep alive a nation or an institution that has evil and racism and slavery and oppression in its DNA? That would be like, you know, why would you want to keep alive a demon? Why would you want to keep alive a devil, a monster? No sensible person would want to do that. So the logical progression, the logical consequence of this narrative gaining widespread acceptance would be the actual destruction of the United States as a nation, as an ideal, as a culture, as a society, as a people group, and the consequences of that. You know, and I say this as somebody who's been outside of the United States my entire life. I grew up in Latin America and then in Europe and then in Africa. And when I come back, I tell people, you have no idea how good you have it. You have it better than people anywhere else on this planet. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or purple or yellow or red. Makes no difference. You have it better than people anywhere else on this planet. The reason why is because the founders distilled these biblical principles into a political governing system, and that laid the foundation for the greatest, freest, most prosperous society that's existed maybe since ancient Israel.
You know, the other aspect, Alex, is that we need to warn that it's elementary schools really being targeted with this. I mean, to really start young, to start impressioning young minds with this when they don't have that vantage point, where they're not able to think through things. But this is really where it's being begun and beginning and targeting these young minds. I mean, we're talking 5-year-old children and on up through the elementary years.
That's right. And they're going even younger now. You know, one of Joe Biden's campaign platforms,
yes,
he wants to get children starting at the age of
three
into the hands,
yep,
of the government.
Yep.
I saw his commercial. We're going to get your three-year-old in the care of the government. That way women can go back to work and the government will just take care of your children. What do we think is going to happen when the government gets hands on the three-year-old? I can tell you what's going to happen. Critical theory is going to be pushed on them, gender ideology, climate change shenanigans, this racist narrative about America. Our children are powerless against this. They're children, for crying out loud. They don't have the defenses intellectually and spiritually to be able to answer this kind of propaganda. And again, the consequences are devastating. We're starting to see that now. As our president quite correctly pointed out during his Independence Day speech, the reason for the mayhem in our streets right now, and this is almost a direct quote, is the indoctrination that's taking place in the education system and in the media.
Mm.
And they went on to say that against every law of nature and society, our children are being taught to hate their own nation,
yeah,
and the heroes who founded their nation.
Wow.
Exactly, yeah, what's happening. He hit the nail on the head.
And we saw media point that out, too. I mean, even media criticizing him for making that speech in front of Mount Rushmore and criticize. Yeah, he made his speech in front of slave owners. And the media was just fanning the flames of this narrative.
That's exactly right. And, they called it a monument to white supremacy. And
yeah,
the Democrat,
yeah,
Party had to take that down because it was just a little too controversial,
yeah,
for, present-day Democrats. But give it another few years, that's exactly where they'll be,
yeah,
going with this. But it's such a pernicious lie. And I think as Christians, we need to recognize the seriousness of this lie. We should not even be battling on their turf. We should not allow them to set the parameters of this debate. God has made it clear in the Bible that we all come from one blood. We all came from Adam and Eve.
Yes.
We all came from Noah and his wife. This whole artificial construct of racism, that we have to divide ourselves up into different racial groups and hate and defend our racial interests, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. It's fraudulent. This is the ideology of race mongers and collectivists and evolutionists and people who do not have a biblical worldview. As Christians, we should reject even the fundamental premises of their argument, like our forebears did. I mean, the people who ended slavery in the United States and around the world were evangelical Christians who were passionate about the fact that we are all created equally in the image of God, and that's what we need to remember.
So how does this curriculum, the 1619 Project, how does this deal with the likes of the Charles Darwin that you referred to earlier? Or we think of the extreme racism of Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. I mean, are they exposing these individuals?
See, you would think if there was some real concern about racism, that those would be probably the primary targets. And this has been my criticism of one of my many criticisms of the Black Lives Matter movement as well. You know, there has been real, legitimate racism, and there continues to be some. You know, I think Planned Parenthood is a shining monument to racism, right? They set up the abortion clinics in minority neighborhoods. They deliberately target them for abortions. And that this is all in keeping with the views of its founder, Margaret Sanger, who believed that certain races were superior, that we should use eugenics, which is translated means good births, right? They wanted to selectively breed people. She wanted to get people she considered to be human weeds out of the gene pool, so they should be sterilized, they should be prevented from having children. And Charles Darwin, of course, laid the pseudoscientific foundation for a racist worldview. They teach the children to look at the world through a Darwinist lens. They don't teach them the whole story. But Darwin was actually very, very open about his views. I have some quotes here. This is one that the title of his big book on the origin of species and the survival of the favored races. In another book he wrote, he talked about how the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. He argued in his book, Descent of Man, that there was a smaller difference between gorillas and black and Australian people than there was between Europeans and black people, which is, of course, absolutely ludicrous, that the genetic makeup is almost identical between a European and an African. And, of course, they're all human, whereas gorillas and apes are not. But this is what Darwin believed, and he thought this would be a good thing. So these deranged racist pseudoscientific ideas, actually laid the intellectual justification for Marxism, for Soviet communism, for National Socialism or Nazism in Germany, and of course for Margaret Sanger and her eugenics movement. So, and yet not a word about any of these things in the 1619 Project.
So who was fanning the flames of the 1619 Project? I know you mentioned that Nicola Hannah-Jones writing these articles, but, I mean, it's gone all the way up to, you got such radicals like this legislator in Illinois who is saying, hey, we need to put a brakes on teaching history in our schools until we can have a new alternative. What we've been teaching is wrong. We need this new history that should be taught in our schools. How does it get from the writing of this paper to trying to halt the educational system from what is, an accurate rendering of history as we originally were taught, to say, no, we need to have this new history?
Yeah, well, the New York Times represents one tentacle of a very, very powerful establishment that's international in scope. It's not just American. But if you look at the key people involved in the New York Times, if you look at the history of the New York Times, nowadays people call it the deep state. Previously, mm-hmm. people used to call it the establishment or the insiders or, you know, whatever term people want to use. But there very much is a power elite in the United States and around the world. They have institutions such as the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission and all these things. And the New York Times is very much a propaganda megaphone, to quote a former reporter who actually resigned his job there after realizing this. For the establishment, and that includes fanning the flames of racism. That includes promoting illegal wars when it's appropriate. This is what the reporter that I just mentioned resigned over. He said, "You guys are just a propaganda megaphone for the establishment mm-hmm. in selling wars to the American people." And so, the New York Times is part of a much broader system. Yes, its biggest sugar daddy right now, to use a modern lexicon, is Carlos Slim, the Mexican billionaire. But they are and have been for generations now deeply connected with the elites, and when the elites in America want something, they use the New York Times as a propaganda megaphone to promote it, and very, very quickly it catches on. So then the education establishment jumps on the bandwagon. It starts with the liberal public school systems, and then the teachers' unions, even in the conservative districts, start bringing it in. And so that is how now this so-called project, the 1619 Project, has infiltrated public schools all over America.
And President Trump recently speaking out on this issue. What has been his response?
Well, Trump actually, I think, did something incredibly important. Just a few days ago, he threatened to stop federal funding for public schools that are using this 1619 Project. Now, you know, obviously there's some problems here. The federal mm-hmm. government should not be funding public schools in the first place. Yeah. It's not a constitutional responsibility. But as long as the federal government is funding public schools, it would certainly be a good idea to stop subsidizing the indoctrination of American children with what is self-evidently ludicrous. I mean, even the fact-checkers and the historians that the New York Times hired to fact-check this said it was wrong, and they said their wow. concerns were ignored, and they proceeded anyway. You've got historians from all across the political spectrum, from Marxists and progressives to liberals, all the way to conservatives, who say this is just flatly historically inaccurate. So if ever there was a time for the federal government to use its funding leverage, this would be it. And so that's what President Trump has done. There's also legislation now that's been introduced in Congress to accomplish the same purpose. Ultimately, I think a better objective, as the president himself has said, is to get the federal government out of the education system and abolish the U.S. Department of Education. But as long as that leverage, as long as that mechanism exists, we should be using it for useful purposes like this.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Our phone number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We will have a couple more questions for Alex as to where do we go from here, or what can be done in regard to this matter. Back in just a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free? Or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest today, the 1619 Project. Have you heard of it, ladies and gentlemen? Do you know this may be going on in your schools as we speak? And there is great pressure being put upon schools, and teachers' unions get backing this and getting it into schools and banning it in the curricula. I mean, we got legislators who are saying, hey, halt the presses. We need to stop teaching history until we get it right with this, you know, this new created history. A rewriting of American history, the 1619 Project. I asked you about President Trump. Has Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos spoken on this at all?
Well, you know, she did something very interesting. She actually endorsed a project that's kind of a rival to the 1619 Project, so responding to this abomination of a history program. A group of other black Americans came up with an alternative. They call it the 1776 Unites Initiative. And it's a similar curriculum in that it deals with the experiences of black Americans, touches on slavery and the history of that. And that's an important conversation to have. Nobody's just saying that we shouldn't be talking about those things. But what it does is it reframes it. It comes at it from a completely different angle. First of all, it's historically accurate, which you would think would be pretty important when we're talking about the education of children. But second of all, it's positive and it's encouraging. It highlights stories of black heroes who are just completely eliminated from the 1619 Project. Not a single reference, for example, in the 1619 Project to Frederick Douglass. Not a single reference to Booker T. Washington,
wow.
Right? One of the great black Americans who really led the way to black advancement in America. No reference at all to Anthony Johnson, one of the original black Americans. He actually arrived in 1621 as an indentured servant. He had been kidnapped by warlords in modern-day Angola, was brought over to America. He worked his indentured service period off, became a wealthy property owner, actually became the first legal slave owner in America, which is an interesting story in and of itself. He had white indentured servants and black indentured servants. So none of this is in the 1619 program, whereas the 1776 Unites program offers, you know, a much broader view and a much more accurate view. So Betsy DeVos has praised that curriculum. She said it's really wonderful and it'd be good if schools use it. But she did say, quite correctly, the U.S. Department of Education has no role in setting national curricula. We can't tell state and local schools what to do, and that's a fact. So
do you see the 1776 Unite initiative as being a solution, or do you see other solutions to this?
Well, you know, I would say it's a step in the right direction. You know, I think it's important to use materials like this that are available to give children a balanced view of American history and to give them a positive impression. You know, the whole 1619 Project, it basically lays out this doom and gloom case that people with darker skin are going to be forever victims and they'll never be able to improve their lot in life, whereas the 1776 Unite Project paints exactly the opposite picture, that America is a land of freedom and opportunity, and anybody, regardless of what tone their skin might be, has the opportunity to do what they want and to be successful if that's what they want to do. So that is, you know, a step in the right direction. But I think more broadly, Jim, the public education system has become so corrupt. It has become just so godless. And I mean, this goes back generations. This is not anything new, and it's not going to be fixed with anything simple. But it's become so bad. You know, you can't mention God. You can't talk about the Bible. You can't talk about the fundamental biblical truths that God has revealed to us in His Word. They're getting fake history. They're getting Common Core math, which, according to the only math expert on the panel that the Common Core people themselves put together, would handicap children if they were exposed to it for more than a few years. Unbelievable how bad the education system has gotten. And so what I tell parents, and especially Christian parents, is there is no easy solution to this. The best thing you could do for your children is to pull them out of the public school system and get them into some sort of Christian educational program, whether that be homeschooling or, you know, a private Christian school in your area or an online private Christian school. But, you know, as Christians, we need to understand God is very, very clear in His Word about what an education looks like, who ought to be in charge of an education. And, you know, it starts with, as Proverbs tells us twice, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says in Proverbs 1:7. And yet, in our public schools, thanks to a lawless U.S. Supreme Court, you can't even mention the Lord. So, of course, the children can't get knowledge. They can't get wisdom, not legitimate knowledge, not legitimate wisdom in a public school. So as Christians, I think we have an obligation to protect our children from this. And I think that is really going to be the ultimate solution. And it's something that every family can do right now. And I know people say, oh, well, you know, we need two incomes. I understand all that. You know, my wife and I, same situation, right? We recognize that it's a sacrifice, but our children are worth it. And God has given us as parents the responsibility for our children.
Alex Newman, our guest, and by the way, again, his article, Brainwashing Kids with Debunk 1619 Project to Destroy U.S., you'll find it, the online version at thenewamerican.com. We're going to Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Tom.
Good afternoon. Just teaching history itself. I'll give you a for instance, and maybe your guests can expand upon it. In the 1850s, there was a group of men right here in the state of Wisconsin that formed a political party known as the Republicans, with its one and first and foremost intent was as an anti-slavery party in the platform. Can you expand on that?
Okay.
And maybe that should be taught, and we wouldn't be having these problems in the inner cities where people are thinking that they're somehow disadvantaged by what history tells us.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, it's a very good point, and it's another element of history that's been lost. But historically, it has been the Republican Party that has been on the cutting edge of really helping America to live up to its founding ideals, pursuing racial equality, ending slavery, and on and on. And that's something that, again, has been completely omitted from the 1619 Project. You know, they mention some of these people, but they never tell you they're Republicans. In that introductory essay, she actually talks about the seven first African descent members of Congress who were elected. She doesn't mention that every single one of the seven was a Republican.
Hmm.
And it's just another example of how real history has been completely thrown out the window to replace it with this fraudulent, phony, dangerous fake history that's being pumped into the minds of our children.
James is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air, James.
Yes, thank you, sir, for taking my call. I really appreciate it, and thank you for having the guest that's on. He's saying, as he continues to speak, a lot of things that I agree with. I was just concerned a bit about his approach or the evangelical approach to many of the problems that are going on in our nation today. As being an African American myself, taking sides with neither one, Republican or Democrat, I'm simply saying, you know, that a lot of times, you know, where the scriptures teach us that things happen first in the spirit world before they manifest themselves in the natural world. And a lot of the things that are going on in the world today are a result of things that happened in the spirit world. And until we take control of what's going on in the spirit world, going through human beings, legislatures, and writing papers, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those shtickles. I'm simply saying that, you know, more emphasis should be placed on the church towards dealing with things in the spirit world.
Okay, we got your point there, James. Now, we do know Ephesians says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we know that there is a spirit, very much a spirit of Antichrist, Alex, in all of this, but that certainly does not negate, I mean, and certainly we need to stand, we need to put on the armor of God, but it also does not negate our discernment in this aspect and how we deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely, and thank you to the caller. I agree with you. The spiritual component of this is huge, and one of the things that I find most interesting is just in recent weeks, and I've covered this at the New American, we've got the videos, we've posted them for anyone who wants to see, is multiple leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement, including Patrice Cullors, the self-proclaimed highly trained Marxist, including the founder of the BLM Los Angeles chapter, Professor Malina Abdullah, including Black Lives Matter educators who are teaching teachers how to push this stuff on children. They have all admitted in public that they're consulting with spiritual beings. They claim they're summoning spiritual ancestors. I mean, this is demonic. This is voodoo. This is paganism. It's very, very dangerous. And they are now saying that this is a spiritual war. So, you know, thank you for the call, James. I agree this is a spiritual battle, but there's also a physical component to it. And, you know, I think as parents, we have responsibilities and duties that God has assigned to us. And also, you know, we were blessed to be born into one of the first and only truly self-governing republics in human history. That means we have a huge responsibility. Everything that God says about government in His Word, and I just preached a sermon on this the other day at a Baptist church in Florida. Everything that God says about government, we the people in the United States, who are the authority in our government, have to take all those responsibilities very seriously. That means we have to punish evil, and it means we have to protect the good. And so there is just a huge spiritual component to it. We don't want to overlook it, but there's also, you know, actions in the physical that we should be taking as parents, as citizens, as voters, as taxpayers. And so thank you for the call, James.
Thank you, James. So, and because of the number of people trying to get on the program, we are going to move to the next caller. Ken in Tennessee, you're on the air.
I was wondering, when they first started changing all the history books, taking the true history out and putting all these lies in there, I was just wondering how and when and how they got the authority to do that, and why there weren't, like, legal Christian aid societies fighting that in court. And you'd think that they would have to prove the facts that they're trying to change in history.
Your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah, well, thank you for the call. And, you know, this gradual transformation of American history has been going on for generations and generations, and it's been getting worse with every passing year. I think the 1619 Project represents kind of the culmination of that, where they just outright come out and say America is evil, we need to destroy it. But a series of small successive changes over the years made that possible. Before the 1619 Project, we had things like the Howard Zinn educational project, right? He wrote The People's History of the United States, which is just basically one giant Marxist diatribe based on completely fabricated fake history. The Bible speaks extensively about this. You know, it talks about the devil as being a liar and, in fact, being the father of lies. So we know what is the ultimate source of all this deception that's coming around. It is clearly diabolical. It is clearly satanic. The Bible is clear about this. And this has been Satan's tactic, you know, from the dawn of humankind, right? Right in Genesis 3:5, there's Satan lying to Adam and Eve, right? Oh, you can be like God. Right. You just have to disobey him, right? Did God really say? So it's the same old tactic applied in different contexts, applied for different purposes, but ultimately, you know, the deception has been going on from the dawn of time, but the deception in our history has been getting more and more radical. I would say right around the year 1900, as John Dewey and his disciples really started making progress in consolidating control over the public education system that had been birthed a few decades before in most of the states, that was the real turning point. But, you know, as John Dewey himself recognized, he wrote in his essay, The Primary Education Fetish, in 1898, the change would have to be gradual, because otherwise it would spark what he described as a violent reaction. So they did it in small increments over a period of generations, and they did it slow enough that you know, nobody got too alarmed. It's like the frog in the boiling water. If you throw him in the boiling water, he jumps right out. If you raise the temperature slowly, they'll cook, and that's where we are right now.
Thank you for the call here today, Ken. Up against a break, we'll come back. Vincent, stay on the line, and Michelle and Barry and others, you're tuned to Crosstalk on VCY America. And back in just a minute, Alex Newman, our guest today, our discussion on the 1619 Project. You can read Alex's article on it, going in more into detail even than what we got on the air at thenewamerican.com. Thenewamerican.com, back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. America is headed toward a color revolution. What is a color revolution? A color revolution is often carried out in countries to remove a leader who is deemed to be, well, illegitimate. He's often described as an authoritarian, a fascist, a dictator, a criminal, a racist. the color revolutions have often been carried out, even with the support of our Central Intelligence Agency, in other countries. I contend, and do many others, that a color revolution is now being laid here in America. And a big part of a color revolution is a political warfare agenda. And another word for political warfare is brainwashing, psychological information, propaganda, lies. You're hearing it now. You're hearing the lies being laid down about this election and about President Trump. Do your homework. Understand the narrative is being laid for a color revolution.
You're tuned to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest. And Alex, some amazing breaking news going on right now.
It is. It's pretty incredible, Jim. As we were talking, the President of the United States was signing an executive order creating a patriotic education commission. He called the 1619 Project ideological poison and toxic propaganda. And he says now the federal government is going to be looking at this and helping to bring about a more patriotic education system in the United States. And, of course, the limits of federal authority are clear, but even the fact that he's now starting a national discussion on this, I think, is so important.
And, folks, that's happening right as we're doing this program here today on Crosstalk. I mean, this is how current the information is on this matter, with the president signing an executive order on this very matter now. Vincent in Fort Myers, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to say real quick that I was brainwashed. I was brought up through a complete failed education system. And I mean, literally, I could barely read when I got out of high school. And my life, educational-wise, changed when I met Jesus Christ. Mm. And I started Amen. Realizing that all the things that was said about race, about slavery, some of it's true. But a lot of it is lies. And when I found out that black people owned slaves, and just how embedded slavery was in the whole world at that time, and the Constitution, every black leader, other than these scoundrels we got right now, used the good and the bad ones. Martin Luther King, the Black Panthers, both of them used the Constitution to push their point. And the last thing I want to say to you is that black people are going to, you are going to see a change. Black people are waking up. And I'm telling you right now, the Democratic Party is getting ready to be shocked by how many blacks don't turn up and how many blacks will vote for Donald Trump. Wow. And I get off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Vincent. Alex, you're responding. He's saying the Democratic Party is going to be shocked.
Amen. Well, thank you for the call, brother. I appreciate it very much. And that's been my experience as well. I think, and it's not just the black community, it's all over America. Huge numbers of people are waking up to this. We have been deceived, not just by the Democrat Party, but by the education system and on and on. It's just wonderful that God is working still in this country, that he is giving people discernment, and that a lot of us are kind of waking up from this collective stupor that we've been in. It's incredibly encouraging. And I want to read this quote that President Trump literally just said. He says, "The narratives about America being pushed by the far left and being chanted in the streets bear a striking resemblance to the anti-American propaganda of our adversaries."
Wow.
It's incredible what's going on. And I think the American people, of all colors, of all stations in life, of all economic positions, they are waking up to this now. And that is incredibly encouraging. We need a whole lot more of it, but thank you very much for the call, Vincent. Very encouraging, and we appreciate you.
Let's go to Barry in Tennessee. You're on the air, Barry.
Yeah, I call in periodically, and I don't like to sound like a broken record, but I'll tell you what, this is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the world, the church is a reflection of what's going on in the world. That tells you the condition of how the church is.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the church, our pastors need to get up there and not be intimidated by people and worry about dollars and numbers. They need to preach that uncompromised gospel. And we as people, and there's people out there listening right now that believe in prayer.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in prayer, you need to do a lot more praying. I'm telling you, prayer is the key to this whole thing. When we pray and fast, We get up that altar on Sunday. We don't just talk about praying, and we don't have a now and lay me down to sleep prayer. But when we pray, God moves. Heaven never wills anything till the earth wills it first. If we don't pray, God's not going to move on it. And then when we pray and seek God, you know, the word says that one person can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Then when we pray and seek God, we'll put these devils to flight. I'll tell you, you know, eventually the devil's going to, you know, God's going to turn this thing over to him. But I'll tell you what, it don't have to be now.
Barry, thank you. I'm going to have to stop you there at this point because the time is going so quickly here. But I just want to hearken back. Just 2 days ago on this program, that was our topic. If My People was a title for the program. We talked about the necessity of prayer. And Alex, I know you believe very firmly and in this concept of praying for this nation.
Absolutely. It is so critical. God has told us that it's critical, and that's good enough. We ought to all be on our knees praying for our country, for our leaders, for the people of our nation, for our teachers, for our children, for our parents. It's so important, and God can do amazing, amazing things. I mean, the scripture is just filled with examples. One angel, I preached about this a couple weeks ago, one angel slaughtered 185,000 members of an enemy army that had come against God's people. So we need to get on our knees and pray. We need to recognize that this is spiritual warfare, and we need to take this seriously.
And if you miss it,
of our country and our children.
Yeah, Barry, if you missed that program from Tuesday, go back and listen to it at crosstalkamerica.com called If My People. Let's go to Michelle in Ohio. You're on the air.
Really appreciate your program today, Jim, and your guest, Alex, you know, your work that you're doing. I've been watching the White House Conference on American History today. President Larry Arnn from Hillsdale College and a bunch of others on the panel, and this has been a subject of my heart. I really appreciate what you said earlier, Alex, about pull your Christian kids out of these public schools. I just was talking to a minister about that 2 days ago, and not only all of the things that, you know, they're being taught against God, one thing I wanted to ask if you were aware of, I remember reading in Dr. Phyllis Schlafly's book, Obama's War on Religion, where she mentioned a Supreme Court case that the moment our children enter the public schools, because of that case, I can't remember the name of the case, but because of that case, they become more of the authority that the schools do and the authorities than the parent does.
I'm going to have to stop you there, Michelle. We're down to 30 seconds. Alex, respond to this or what you want to leave with the listeners here. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling, Michelle. Phyllis Schlafly was a great woman who did so much work in this area. She actually endorsed our book about education. I was on the radio with her many times. And the doctrine you're talking about, the legal doctrine in loco parentis, that basically the schools are becoming the parents, that to any Christian parent ought to be so far outside the bounds of what's acceptable that we wouldn't tolerate it for a moment. So thank you for calling in, Michelle, to all the callers. Thank you also, Jim, for having me on this incredibly important subject. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And so important that the president just issuing an executive order dealing with this very issue. Thank you, Alex, for your research and helping to keep our listeners informed.
Thank you so much.
And friends, thank you for joining us. Let me encourage you, read Alex's article, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com, and share the links with others as well. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.